Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Ruben's Podcast, a show in which I talk to people about their life over the last decade and the lessons they've learned along the way. On today's show, I'm speaking with Leon Castellas. I love this conversation because Leon's journey over the last decade has been nothing short of a roller coaster. He tells me why he decided to move to the US and reality of life as a budding musician in Hollywood, and how he ended up becoming a drummer for the United States Army. But before we get into the conversation, a quick message. If you've been enjoying this podcast and would like to reconnect with all of these people, you can now do that on this tool I'm building called Rolodex AI. It's a tool to help you stay connected with people you don't meet that often. There's a St. Stephen's 13 community up and running, and you can find more details by going to rolodexai.com. Okay, let's get into the conversation. Thanks a ton for taking time to do this, Leon.
Thanks for having me, Ruben. Oh my
goodness. Where are you currently in the world?
So currently I'm in Missouri at a little place called Fort Leonard Wood.
Okay.
It's an army base, out here in Missouri. And, it's the Midwest.
Oh, it's in the Midwest. Yeah. So last I knew that you were in LA, and that's the West Coast.
Yep.
Exactly. When did you move to Missouri?
I moved to Missouri in early 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, around March of 2019. That was after I had finished my trainings. So I went to basic training when I joined the Army to Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Yeah.
After that, I went to advanced training in Virginia Beach. That I was there for like 3 months, and then finally got my first posting out here at Leonard Wood. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been here for like 2 years, 3 months since 2019 to now. So that's where I'm at, man.
Wow. I'm sure that people listen to this, their minds are already exploding because this is Leon, we remember, who's to play the drums. And you're like, you're in an army camp and you're in basic and advanced training. So I think before that, I have so much to speak to you about.
Yeah.
Before we get into the details, the last I remember, you were playing drums at Mukist. And at that point of time, I don't know what your bigger vision or what your goal was, and we'll get into that. But you moved to the US, you lived a life of a musician in LA, you then went to the army, and now you're a US citizen.
Yeah.
So talk to me, what has happened in the last 10 years, man?
So I had no idea that I would be joining the army. Seriously. Like, you know, as a kid, you have fantasies like, oh my God, wouldn't it be cool to be like a Navy SEAL or someone like in special operations? These guys get to shoot guns and do all these kinds of like awesome things. It's like you have those fantasies, but never in a million years did I think I would be. I mean, I'm nowhere close to like doing that sort of thing, but I'd never envisioned myself being in the army, and let alone, you know, playing music for the army, in the army.
Yeah.
So that was something that I did not expect at all. So pretty much, as you said, yeah, I started playing drums and like when I was 12, and I just wanted to be a musician, be a drummer, keep doing what I was doing. And I continued that when I was in Stevens. You know, I was lucky enough to get my own single room as a first year student. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, I got a single room, put my drum kit in there, and drove people crazy with with the banging on the drum kit. But it all seemed to, you know, work out in a way. I remember like having those awesome jam sessions with all you guys up in that room and like hanging out on my balcony and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So started there, and I think it was third year or something, I started working towards coming to the US, because even at that point I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. It was between the UK and the US for me, because I was certain at that point I didn't want to stay in India, like, because the scope for music over there was, you know, not as expansive as out over here in the US or the UK. So I was like, yeah, definitely gotta go abroad somewhere. But I wasn't 100% sure. And then this opportunity came along for me to apply to a Musicians Institute in Los Angeles. Yeah, I got accepted over there. And yeah, moved to LA in 2013, October, and hung out there for a few years, and yeah, wound up in Missouri playing drums.
We'll get to how you went from, you know, hanging around in LA to landing up in Missouri. But talk to me more about this decision, because you're like literally one of the few people I know, and I can literally count them on my fingers, who are pursuing a career in music, right? And I think back in college, it was pretty clear that that's what you wanted to do. Talk to me more about what you meant by, you know, the scope of music was just more expansive in the US as compared to India. And you know, and now you've been there. You've been there for about, you know, 5-6 years. What does that mean?
Growing up, I was, you know, living in Jaipur for my whole life, until I went to Delhi, to Stevens, when I got in over there. And Jaipur has nothing for music, so to speak. Like, there's no real live music scene. It's like a growing live music scene, but again, mostly people just listen to like Bollywood stuff or heavy metal. It's kind of weird. Like, it goes from extremes. The live music scene out there, at least when I was around, it was mainly just like rock bands, like metal bands. And that really wasn't the stuff that I wanted to be playing. It just seemed like I was being pushed into, you know, play this kind of music that I really didn't want to do in the first place. But it was like the only few opportunities that existed for me to play live.
What kind of music did you want to play?
I mainly wanted to play funk, R&B, jazz, that kind of thing. And no one really listens to that kind of music out there. And then when I moved to Delhi, like, I met a bunch of people that liked the kind of music that I wanted to play. I was like, awesome, let's do this. So I like, got together with all of you guys. A bunch of them played in a few bands. I remember playing with U8 Noise and yeah, Moses and Chuck, all these guys, Sooth, played a few shows in Delhi. That was fun. That was a nice change, a very pleasant change, getting to play, you know, fun music that people enjoyed, people actually appreciated. And it wasn't, you know, film music or, you know, pop music of India. And nothing against them, nothing against, you know, that music. If you like it, you like it. But it wasn't for me. Yeah. So I finally sort of found my niche and kind of delved deeper into it.
You know, you reached Delhi and you were thinking about this music. Clearly you'd found a small niche, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I know I spoke to a lot of other guys who were like maybe studying with me, like, you know, Lewis and Amita and these guys. And, you know, we all had bigger plans and we had this 10-year goal for ourselves. Did you have this 10-year goal for yourself?
I had no such goal. I had no goals. I had no hopes and ambitions, Ruben.
Okay. Yeah, because
I was like, dude, I was in BA program. What do you think was going to happen?
Man, no, I don't agree. But anyway, because no, I was just curious because, you know, like, with at least for us, like, it was fairly, I would say, like, and CD mentioned this, you know, the path was laid out wherein, you know, we would go into consulting, we would do a couple of years of business school, then we would maybe do a couple of more years and pay off that debt and so on and so forth. But as you were thinking about next steps, and clearly you were like, you know, I'm going to move to the US because it's more exciting. Did you have goals? And the reason I asked that is if these are like 5 options, I don't think the army showed up in any one of them.
No. And you're absolutely right. So for me, I didn't have goals in the way you guys did. Mm-hmm. I had plans, but plans definitely changed and evolved and grew into something completely unexpected. No. So, I mean, being an artist, being a musician, and I guess this holds true for anyone in the arts fields and stuff. There's no real cut and dry method. There's no real like path laid out for you because it's such a windy road. It's so how should I say this? It's the path let's travel, right? Yeah. So there's no real direction which is the right one or the wrong one. You can just like hope whatever you're doing will work out for you. So when I was doing what I was doing in college, I was like, yeah, I mean, it'll be awesome to move to the US, but I had no idea how and when I would be doing that. Initially, like when I was in school, when I finished like 11th, 12th, I was actually planning on moving to the UK. I had applied to music school in, Leeds, gotten over there on a scholarship as well, and decided against going there because mom and dad were like, nah, you're too young, you're too malleable, you're gonna get influenced, do bad things out there, so no. Why don't you do your bachelor's, you know, get yourself a solid foundation, and then we'll see what happens. I was like, okay, cool. So BA program it was, and continued playing drums. And then only towards the end of college did I stumble upon Musicians Institute and applied over there and headed out to LA after that. But yeah, definitely a windy road. It wasn't like, I have to do this, and then after this, I have to do that. It wasn't planned out in such a structured manner. Yeah. It was improv for the most part.
Something which you're very good at. One question on the windy road, lightly on, and I think Lewis and I were talking about this, about how, you know, at some point in life, you have to deal with this uncertainty, right? And it creates immense amount of anxiety. Is Absolutely. That the case with you? And like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, definitely. Bunch of anxiety, bunch of stress and uncertainty. Absolutely. So in the beginning, when I moved there to LA, it was a whole new world. I was like, this is awesome. This is beautiful. But the realities of the situation didn't hit me at that point because I was a new student out there and everything was pretty much taken care of. I was okay financially because mom and dad were like paying for my tuition, rent and everything. So the reality of the situation was pretty cushy. Like it was fine. So like I had no real idea of how life would be like after school. And I mean, I was thinking about it and stuff and I was like, dude, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make being a musician work for me? How am I going to pay rent and all of that stuff? Because, you know, money is limited. It doesn't grow on trees. So how am I going to do this? You know, I can't live off mom and dad for the rest of my life. Yeah. So in that sense, yeah. I mean, it was a big roller coaster of emotions and not knowing what the heck to do, pretty much. Because, again, I was a guy in a whole new country, on a whole new continent, like miles and miles away from home, not knowing what to do really as such, you know, because music is one of those things where you can get work, but you have to have a solid network and networking takes time. You have to do auditions. You have to meet people. You have to, you know, scrimp and save just in case you don't get those gigs that you hoped and wanted. So yeah, definitely a lot of stress, but kind of worked out. In a way. Yeah.
Are there things you would do to like just deal with this anxiety? Or I'm sure you're much better at it now, but
yeah. Honestly, I don't think there was anything that I did. It was just part of my reality as such. It just became an acceptable part of my everyday life. Like having stress would be normal. I chose to be a musician, you know, and it's not one of those things. It's not when you're a musician, you have those high aspirations that you're going to be playing in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And you have that rock star dream, quote unquote. Yeah. But the reality of the situation is that most likely, unless you're super, super lucky and things just work out for you, that's not the case for 95% of musicians. Mm-hmm. You know, the real working musicians aren't living that rock star life. They have awesome moments. They have rock star moments, but everyday life is pretty commonplace. It's pretty, you know, normal, so to speak. So yeah, I don't think there was anything that I did to cope with the stress or anything. It was just like hope, pray things work out. And yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah.
And just keep doing what you're doing. Don't, you know, give up. Yeah, you can get a side job, do extra work, do whatever you need to do to make ends meet. But yeah, this, I didn't meditate or do deep breathing or anything like that to cope with the stress. Yeah, it was just whatever happens will happen anyway.
Yeah, and it all worked out. So that's awesome, right? And the fact that you're saying it's so cool, because even in the startup world, right, I think it's quite similar. Yeah. Where, you know, everybody doesn't become a CEO of a $1 billion company, right? Most people.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
And it's pretty normal, right? You just be it. It's nothing bad or nothing, you know, wrong about that.
Yeah.
But talk to me about life in LA, where all these rock stars live.
So LA is, again, like it's a mixed bag of cultures. It's a mixed bag of people.
Yeah.
You have people from all over the world, all over the country, coming there either as tourists, as students, as, you know, potential, whatever. It's the place where people come to make it or not. It just depends. The first couple of years were awesome because I was mainly in a school environment, just practicing, you know, working on music, meeting really cool people, meeting fantastic musicians, going to phenomenal live performances, getting to meet all these idols that I had looked up to growing up, and actually getting to see them in person. It was just a very fulfilling experience overall. After graduating from school, I got this 1 year work permit that you get normally after you graduate school. And that's when, you know, things started getting real, so to speak. And I was like, okay, now what? Finish school. I don't have to go there anymore. I don't know what the next step would be for me. And so I was like, all right, cool. What can I do at this point? Practice, go to my practice loop pad, whatever you want to call it. We call it a lockout. But go to my lockout, which was like an hour's bus ride away. I didn't have a car at that time because expensive. LA gas prices are crazy. But anyway, so I would take the bus, like hop on there, sit on the bus for like an hour, do my thing, practicing, scour Craigslist, and hit up my friends like, hey, when are we doing a gig anytime soon? Scour through Craigslist every night. Musician looking for drummer in band, you know, write them emails, send them text messages, call them, hope to get a call back or an audition, or hopefully just get the gig off the bat. But it was just mainly filling up time with a lot of things like that to get extra money to try and get your foot in the door, to try and at least make ends meet. So that's pretty much what I did for like a year after that. And then time was starting to run out on my, you know, visa and everything. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And so I was like, okay. I really, really didn't want to go back to India. And oh yeah, also during this time, I was working at a smoke shop to make my ends meet. Yeah. So California, you know, marijuana is legal, right? And so there's tons and tons of smoke shops that sell like paraphernalia related to marijuana. And so I was working over there like part-time, and then ended up working there a lot more than part-time. I would say like enough to cover my bills and other expenses and everything. So worked there for 2 years after that. And that was one heck of an experience, man. Just working at that place. Ugh. Meeting weird people at weird hours. You know, the store was open from like 9 a.m. to 3 a.m. And so sometimes we would like pull double shifts, triple shifts, you know, just to like cash in as much as you can. And wow. Yeah, so I was working there.
What's the weirdest person or your weirdest experience at the store?
Dude. I don't know. Is it safe to talk about it over the podcast?
We can edit it out if it's not that safe.
You know, so again, it was based in Hollywood. The store was located in Hollywood. And contrary to popular belief, Hollywood isn't as glamorous as they make it out to be. You know, there's cool things and there's shitty things about Hollywood. Like, for one thing, I hated the number of tourists there. I used to live in Hollywood, so that was home for me. So now, if I had to go to school or go to work, I had to obviously fight through a sea of tourists to get there, and like, I have to like push and shove my way through, like people clicking picture. I'm like, dude, get out of the way. I'm trying to get to work. And it was just things like that that were kind of annoying, but that was just the tip of the iceberg. That was all right, tolerable, right? And then when you're working in a smoke shop, you don't always get the so-called like elite clientele over there. It's like kind of riffraff. You get cool people. You get like, I met a few celebrities there too. Yeah, I met a few cool people over there, but one of the weirdest incidents I would have to say would be, I just about opened up the store with my coworker, and this homeless woman walks in. I haven't even turned the lights on. She goes to the vending machine and she just peed her pants right in front of the vending machine. And it was just weird. So I was like, dude, these people are like probably on drugs. You know, a lot of them were on like not control, like not weed. It's like heavier stuff that they're on. And they have no idea what the heck they're doing and what reality they're in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was definitely a weird, crappy experience. I don't know if you want to put that in there or not.
But no, it's interesting because I think the parallels I draw is, you see, of course, Hollywood in the movies, right? And it's so glamorous. Yeah, and then I play GTA, and that's of course the absolute, you know, exaggerated version. But I'm sure the reality is somewhere, you know, in the middle of both of those.
It kind of is, but like, you know, when people think about Hollywood, they think, oh, celebrities hanging out there, you know, rich people walking around. I don't know what you're like, what people think when you think about Hollywood, but the fact of the matter is that it's got like the Strip, which is the Hollywood Strip, Hollywood Boulevard, Walk of Fame, whatever you want to call it. And that's one of the biggest sites. It's got stars, you know, dotted with the different names of celebrities and what they've done in their careers. And it's got the famous Grauman's Chinese Theater over there. It's got El Capitan Theater. It's got Capitol Records. So it's got a lot of like iconic locations where a lot of cool stuff happens.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's just another place. Like sometimes it's dirty, it's stinky often. But so it's like, it has its good and its bad. It has its charm, but also it has its opposite of charm.
Think I was in LA for I think maybe a day or two.
Oh really?
Yeah, just like when I had come to the US, we were just like there, I think, for a day. I was in SF for a day and then came down to LA for a day. But you're right, like we went to the Strip and that was great, but otherwise, like, the city is so huge, like you just cannot walk anywhere.
No,
and
public transportation sucks in LA. That's one huge pitfall. You have to have a car in LA to get around anywhere.
And then just like, I think for me personally, we went to a couple of these places to eat and like for drinks. It's just it's a weird crowd.
I get
it's a very weird.
Like, you can find like really cool people to hang out with and you meet some really interesting folks. But I don't know if I want to like hang out with those people all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I want to make them, you know, an active part of my life, because everyone has their goals and ambitions and stuff. And sometimes their vision of what they want their lives to be doesn't line up with mine. It's just like too weird. I don't do drugs. Like, people are always like hitting me up to smoke or, you know, do whatever with them. I'm like, nah, man, I'm not into that. I just don't want to, you know. It's not for religious reasons. It's not because I want to look cool or anything. It's just, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't make those kinds of people, you know, a part of my life. I had a very like awesome friend circle that I met through MI, through my school, and hung out with those people all the time. But, you know, the people that were making waves in the industry, that were big names in the industry, a lot of time they weren't, you know, idols of a good life, so to speak, you know, because they had a lot of negative characteristics about themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't want to sound like they're all bad or anything. It's just the people that I had met at that time, I didn't want to hang with those folks, but it just is what it is.
Yeah. And what happened when you told mom and dad that you're working at a smoke shop?
So the reason why I actually started working over there was because mom and dad were like, okay, so time for you to come back to India. I'm like, no, I don't want to. They're like, all right, well, then you're on your own. So I was like, fine. So I got a job there, and that's pretty much how I started making my ends meet, besides the gigging and everything. Yeah. And I told them about the smoke shop and everything. They're like, all right, cool. You have to do what you have to do. But just know that if you ever need anything, you know, we're always there for you. You can always come back to India. I was like, thank you. But I think I got it covered. It was definitely interesting, man.
Yeah,
a weird transitionary phase. Definitely a weird transitionary phase, for sure, to say the least.
Yeah, and I don't think that was the start of it, because you then went from LA, from the freaks and the rock stars, to deciding to join the army.
Yeah, man.
Like, talk to us about that.
So, again, this was me reaching like the end of my visa and everything, and I was on a session, a recording session, with one of my friends, and he was a veteran. He had served in the Marine Corps, and he actually told me about this interesting program that the Army had back in 2015, or actually way before that too. But anyway, so he told me about this program where they accept foreign recruits based on their ability to speak another language. So I was like, okay, cool, that's interesting. I didn't think much of it, and I just continued doing what I was doing. And then, you know, I had reached like a point where I was like, should I just go back home? And then I started looking into this program, and it seemed like pretty interesting. And then I heard and found out about Army bands. I was like, huh, okay. I wonder if I can get into an Army band through this program. So I started doing a little bit of research and met with a recruiter for the Army. And he was like, well, yeah, this program exists, but it's going through a lot of transition and they're planning on shutting it down. So I was like, all right, all hope is lost. And he's like, no, don't worry. I mean, we'll try and squeeze you in. And I spoke to him, and I signed a contract after like days of like getting medical checkups and going through like physical and, you know, all kinds of things that they have to do, like pre-screening wise, like to be able to join the military. Oh yeah. And he was like, okay, cool. So you can sign this contract, but you're going to have to lose a ton of weight, dude. You're going to lose a ton of weight, because at that point, you remember me,
how yeah.
I used to, you know, be like super chubby, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, how do I do this? So the very day I met with the recruiter, I decided to join a gym. I joined LA Fitness. That was like really close to my house. Mm-hmm. So I decided to join the gym. I got a personal trainer and work my butt off for like a good 3 to 6 months till I got in like compliance to meet like the Army standard, like the bare minimum that too of the Army standard. So so after finally like being acceptable weight wise, I was like at that point where I was ready to sign the contract officially and take my oath to swear into the Army. Mm-hmm. And so I had gone to this place where you do all of this stuff, and got all that over with. So I had signed my contract, done my swearing in. But the problem with this program that I had joined through was that, like I said, it was facing a lot of problems, because it not only takes in people from India, but all over the world, and depending on your linguistic ability. So they had to do like a bunch of vetting of people. And so the background check process took really, really long. I was like pretty much in limbo for like 2 years, not knowing. It was a stressful time. That was like me just not knowing whether I would be able to join the army or not. And I was just like waiting, like with fingers crossed, writing to senators and congressmen. I was like, hey, can you please look into this for me? And
what were you doing those two years?
Just pretty much working at the store that I was working at and gigging. I was like playing in like several bands at that point, and doing sessions and teaching. And so, yeah, I was just doing a lot of that stuff and just like waiting at the same time, because yeah, just having all that uncertainty hanging over your neck, whether I'm just going to have to like pack up and leave or if I'd actually be able to join, it was really, really stressful. And then I also had to audition for the army band. So I was working on auditioning. I wrote to a bandsman recruiter. He got back in touch with me, and we scheduled an audition, and I won that audition, got my acceptance into the army bands. And but it still didn't mean anything because I was waiting for my background checks to come through. And that took forever. So yeah, basically just waited for like 2 years, and then eventually they were like, yes, you're good to go. I was like, phew, sigh of relief. Finally got to go ship out to basic training and like begin my military journey. So that was something, man. Just those 2 years of anxious, nervous waiting and not knowing what the heck would happen. Yeah. That sucked. But anyway, made it through. It's all good.
But I'm sure at some point you were thinking to yourself, Leon, what are you even trying to do applying to the army?
Dude, yeah, it was like one of those Hail Mary moments, like a last resort type of thing. But I didn't know. Now, people always like have this negative impression about the military. I don't know what it is and why that is. But honestly, like my day-to-day life isn't what people would think military life would be like. I'm not in the infantry. I'm in the band. It's like one of the coolest jobs to have in the military. Like I get to play music for a living. All that stuff that you see in like the movies and everything, it's mostly played out and exaggerated. There's awesome things about the army, and you know, there's some not so awesome things about the army, like having to wake up at 5:30 in the morning to like work out. You know, that sucks, but that's okay. I get to work on my physical fitness. You know, it's just about the outlook. And I don't mind being in the army, and especially if I'm getting to play music. So
And I think it's good. Like I think through college we had a bunch of our friends who were from army families, right? And we got a chance, at least I'm sure you, right? We got a chance to visit like the Delhi Cant and things like that. And when it's not wartime, I think it's a very high quality of life, because you know, you have a strong, you know, community. You have a strong sense of purpose. You live a very good life. So yeah, I think it's a very, very good life. And in India, for example, I remember when I met these guys, I was definitely telling them, you know, maybe I should join the army, right? But I'm like, I'm not gonna do it. Yeah, like when I go there, I'm like, this is really good. Like, what else do you want, right? What else do you want in life? Yeah. These people are really happy, they're respected in society, and they do a pretty good job. Like even like Pritika, right? For example, her dad was in the army for a while, and he went to join the corporate, right? And like, that's awesome. I totally can imagine it's a very, very good. And I think now, and I talk to a lot of our friends now, and you know, there's been this thing cropping up pretty frequently on, you know, what is a wholesome life, right? Is it just, you know, slogging your ass out, or like, is it much more than that? And maybe you probably figure that sooner, but yeah, I think people are now thinking about it.
No, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, it's just one of those things where like, if you're happy doing what you're doing, then you're doing the right thing. It's pointless like chasing after something and working towards something for like your whole life, and then you don't know why you did it in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's, I think, like a big problem that we have today, because people don't think about satisfaction in the long term. It's just like temporary. Like people, you don't set yourselves your goals. It's like your goals are set by someone else's expectations of. So it's kind of sad, but it's just the reality that we live in, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, not to say that I've like got everything figured out. I'm like still, you know, working towards development and like working on other things in my life. Yeah. But this is a good starting point that I'm at right now. It's definitely worth the wait and worth the work that I had put in for those 2 years that I just waited. So yeah, it's definitely a good starting point and gives me a leg up on understanding what I want to do in the future. I don't know if I'm going to like make the army a career and retire, mm-hmm. or if I want to get out at some point. It just depends. I'm still not 100% sure about that. I'm in like that transitionary phase again.
Yeah.
Where I'm not 100% sure of what I should do, but I'm happy where I am right now, so I guess that's what's important for now.
Yeah.
That
makes more sense. Even when
I literally waited 2 years, so I'm not just gonna give up on it so fast.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I think so, and it's so cool that this was like, as you said, was the last Hail Mary, and you know, sometimes you think of that as the least favorable option, but even for me, right, when I was doing Nivasa and we were winding that down. For me, Zilingo, when I decided to come on, it wasn't like in my list of choices. I was like, you know what? I know Murray and I'm just going to reach out and let's see what happens. Right. And to be honest, it was just like, I'm just going to give this a shot. What's the worst that will happen? And now if I think back, it was totally a random kind of decision, but that like it has completely changed the way, like, you know, how life has progressed for me.
Yeah, man. You just never know.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. Like the progression of my life has been definitely kind of interesting, from like Delhi figuring things out to LA still figuring things out, but have it more streamlined in a sense and have a better perspective of what I want to do. Like gave up on the whole idea that I have to live like that cool famous rock star kind of life, and like get down to reality where I'm actually seeing working musicians. For example, my teachers, they're not rock stars. Yeah, they have definitely played with some really, really cool people and musicians that are phenomenal, but they're not popular in the sense of them playing in front of millions of people. They're popular in a niche and they kill it in that niche. It's like they're the best at what they do in that genre or whatever. And then, you know, after LA, figuring out what I want to do next and joining the army, and I'm still figuring out what I want to do next. I'm debating going the officer route in the army, mm-hmm. and commissioning as a army officer, but I'm not sure yet. Figuring that out. Yeah.
Well, what does an average day look like for you now that you're a drummer in the army?
Before COVID, of course, I don't know why people start their statements with that.
It's like the
before COVID, in the good old days.
In the good old days.
So in the good old days when things were normal, we would start off our day with PT, physical training. We would have to get there by 6:30 in the morning, which means waking up around 5:30, 5:40, 6 o'clock if you're being really lazy and want to push it. But you get up, you put your physical training uniform on, and you head over to wherever they're conducting PT. We usually conduct it based on unit. So my unit, which is the 399th Army Band, we would do PT together as our unit. So drive down to wherever we're doing PT, knock that out for like an hour and a half, and then drive back home, get some breakfast, shower, shave, do whatever else you need to do, and put on our other uniform, our work uniform, head to the office by 9 a.m, get there, and then normally we practice. And so we would do our individual practice, and then we would practice as our group. I'm assigned to the jazz combo, and actually was doubling up. I used to be in the brass band as well as the jazz combo. So I would have like 2 rehearsals with those guys. And then after that, you have time to do like your administrative work, get that stuff done. And then the work day normally ends like by 4:30, 5 sometimes, and come back home. Sometimes so normally we're supporting other units when they have changes of command, when they have changes of responsibility and such. So we would go and support those ceremonies. Mm-hmm. We would go and like if a unit's having like a ball or something, yeah, go and play music over there for those events. And sometimes they're like pretty far as well, because we cover the whole state of Missouri and parts of Arkansas as well. So we get to like drive around quite a bit. Sometimes you got to spend like 1-2 days out, but it's all really fun. It's like doing like a small tour, you know, and I get to see a lot of the Midwest. So that's pretty fun, man. Yeah. So we get to play out quite a bit, play in front of crowds. One of the highlights of being in the band is like doing the troop concert, where we play for fresh graduates who have just completed basic training, and this is their first breath of fun after like 3 months of intense training. So we get to do like this Christmas concert for them. Wow. It's like a room full of, not a room, rather like a hangar full of like 2,000 trainees or whatever, and playing for them, and they're having a blast. We're having a blast, you know. That's like one of the highlights that we do every year. And we also do like this Christmas concert. We actually did a virtual one this year, where that was fun, different. But last year we did this Christmas concert for like the higher ranking people in the military and stuff, and for their families, and just a lot of community outreach and support for the community, not just military families, but also schools, retired people, old age homes, nice. Things like that. Just supporting the local area with music. And yeah, I think that's a pretty fun thing that we do.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the average day, I would say.
Got it. Yeah. That sounds really interesting. Yeah, I can't imagine. And you must be loving it, because like you said, right, you get to play for a living. And that's epic.
Which is the dream. Like, at the end of the day, what do you want to do as a musician? Like, do you want to be a musician and be homeless? No, I don't want that. So I get to play music. Yeah, it has its moments where I have to do some paperwork, blah, blah, blah. I have to work out, big deal. I was going to work out anyway. But now at least I make a living from it, and I'm super comfortable. I'm really happy about it. So
that's awesome.
It's definitely worth it, man. And I wish more people would know that opportunities like this exist. And it's not all about, you know, that one-sided, very superficial vision of being a musician or an artist of any kind.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of avenues to explore. There's definitely a lot of different kinds of opportunities.
Yeah.
It might be unconventional, but at least it's an opportunity. It's a chance for you to explore a different dimension.
Yeah.
That career. So yeah, definitely it's worth looking into. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, now if people are listening to this, probably they will look into this more.
Oh man.
So what does the future look like now, Leon? What are you thinking about the years to come?
So like I said, I'm still debating whether to commission as an officer or...
Well, what does that mean, to commission as an officer?
So there's 2 tiers in the military where you're either enlisted personnel or an officer.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm enlisted. Mm-hmm. Normally, if you're a bandsman, you are... normally enlisted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have a band commander who would be an officer. Mm-hmm. So it's basically two tiers of leadership. And there's leaders within the enlisted ranks and there's leaders within the officer ranks.
Got it.
And officers just have a lot more responsibility and they go through the bigger picture, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the enlisted personnel have more to do with the day-to-day running of the unit and the legwork. So, yeah. So I'm still, I'm still deciding what the heck I want to do, but
yeah.
I'm weighing out the pros and cons. And I think I'm thinking about the officer route, but still kind of undecided.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been doing a ton of, it's not related to the military whatsoever, but I've been doing a ton of cooking.
Oh, wow.
A ton of cooking, like Indian food.
Oh.
Because, again, because when the pandemic happened, all the restaurants and everything closed down. And I'm in the Midwest where, like, Indian food is really hard to come by. Good Indian food is really hard to come by. So out of necessity, I started cooking. And, dude, I'm actually, I hate to brag, but I'm pretty good at it. most recently, I made, like, lal mas and malai kofta.
What?
Like, yeah, dude. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, that's awesome. And, as long as you're doing enough PD to compensate for all of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, so the pandemic hasn't helped that cause at all because we haven't had to do PD for a while. So.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah, so, but I've been feeding all my friends and everything. It's been cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think this is probably like the last question I have about the US, but you moved from LA to the Midwest, and you know, based on the little I've been seeing on the news, it is, you know, two different versions of America.
It definitely is two different versions. It went from modern, super, you know, high speed awesomeness to like access to things that I was so used to in LA. Like, if I wanted, I could just walk to a restaurant at 3 a.m. because I'm hungry and want a pizza. I can't do that here. It's definitely less developed, mm-hmm. but it has its charm. I don't mind it so much because I get to do a lot of things that I didn't know how to do in LA, like hiking and camping and going out in the woods and exploring nature. I get to do a lot of that out here and a lot of just enjoying nature. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, but definitely it's two different worlds, man. It's kind of hard to explain because they're just, I don't know how to explain it. I really don't know how to explain it. It's like the underdeveloped part of the US. Mm. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
You have like really cool cities like St. Louis, Kansas City, Springfield out here in Missouri, but it's not as progressive as Los Angeles, of course. It's just different kinds of people, different outlooks that people have. That's what makes it different, I suppose.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating because, like, I think it's only with these elections it has been so clear that, you know, it's like the US is very, very different than, like, in traditionally.
Like, in that sense, it's super diverse. It's like out here, it's mainly a red state. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny when you're driving out over here. You see picket fences. Most of the time, they're like Trump, 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 Trump. Yeah. And then in the middle of nowhere, you'll see like one lonely Biden Harris picket fence poster or whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Like, you know, that guy's getting egged or like toilet paper at night.
Are people around your neighborhood upset with the results?
No. So in that sense, people have been pretty calm about it. And I think they've been taking it really, really well. People haven't been, you know, upturning cars or like rioting or anything over here. I'm sure like a few people took their like signs down for sure and probably bruised their ego a little bit, but they're taking it pretty well, I should say. No violence, there's no sense of, you guys suck or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all pretty peaceful. It's all pretty calm out here. And I live on post as well, like on the base. And so like things are like super mellow down here. Yeah. even off post, like even the community in which I live in, like the city of St. Robert and the city of Waynesville, which are right outside my base, mm-hmm. they're mainly a bunch of veterans, like retired folk and like military families that live there. So like everyone's super peaceful and nice, I should say.
And that's so important, right? Because unfortunately, you know, like what we look in the, what we watch in the news, it's like, oh, look at all these crazy people going to Capitol Hill, right? And that's probably not the case everywhere. Like it's, that's just a over glamorized version. And it's probably just like the most exaggerated result.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Like it's like, unfortunately this last year, we've seen like such an uptake in violence, in resorting to violence to get what you want, but it's not the America that existed before. This is just, I think, hopefully, in my opinion, hopefully like a temporary surge in craziness. Just people just bored out of their minds from COVID. I'm hoping that that's the reason why they're like acting this way. But overall, I would not say that America is like this. You know, for whatever else may happen in the future. I mean, they're saying that, you know, the Capitol and everywhere, they're bracing for more violence when Biden's actually put in power. But I'm hoping like just, I'm hoping it's a peaceful transition, honestly, because what's the point? Like it's legal. It's all there in front of your eyes. Like, why do you have to fight? Why do you have to be so negative about it? And I just don't know. It's, I'm not a very political person. I don't have an enthusiasm towards politics or a drive to like express my political opinion. When I see stuff like this happening, it just, it makes me definitely annoyed and makes me unhappy about the way things happen, like the transition. But all I can do is like hope that it doesn't get worse.
I know we're touching the hour. So if you had to look back, Leon, to 19-year-old Leon, who was just going to leave Jaipur, what two pieces of advice would you have for yourself?
Eat less, move more. But no, man, like, definitely health. To keep in better health overall. Unhealthy diets are, you know, the primary cause for like obesity and like in my case too. But definitely take care of your health more. And number two would be, keep pushing on, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome. I usually ask everybody if they have one question for me. So do you have a question for me?
Yes, Ruben. Why did you decide to start this podcast? It's awesome. But why? Tell me your reason for this.
So I think over the pandemic, everybody was, you know, reaching out with each other and doing these Zoom calls and things like that. And I think over the pandemic, I realized that, and maybe it was just an age thing. Maybe it was, you know, we're entering a new decade. Maybe it was, you know, exactly 10 years that I entered Stephens, right? You know, like the friends and the relationships we've built are probably the most valuable things we have, right? And when you think about, you know, where you would like your life to go and things like that, you have all these missions and like goals for yourself. But when you actually bring it down to everyday life and be like, hey, how am I spending my time? You know, they don't tie up. And as long as the world was running at you know, 200 kilometers per hour, you would just blame it. Be like, I don't have time. You know, I got to pay the bills, right?
Right.
But I think in pandemic, what that flipped, because you now had all the time in the world, right? So you couldn't blame it that, oh, I have a work job to do, or I have a flight to take. I think for me personally, it was, you know, you took a very strong look on where you were spending your time. And was that even aligning to what you wanted to do and what you wanted to be? And I think that thing, this entire need of, you know, how much of my time am I actually spending with these friends of mine? How much of my time am I actually spending on relationships as in general, right? Because, you know, in the last 10 years, I don't think I did a very good job of it. And it was a disappointment. Like, I'm like, what is the point, right? So I was like, okay, this is something which is very important. I should do. And I think the logistics of it was just painful. I'm like, oh my God, like this is ridiculous. Which is why, you know, the other stuff I'm doing on the side is roughly around the same theme, to logistically make it easy for people to keep in touch. But anyway, I started listening to podcasts like everybody else did. And I'm like, you know what? This is a good way to also channel some whatever creative juice I have in me, right? And it sort of felt good. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me just try and start. Just a month earlier, again, in this similar desperation of, you know, finding an outlet for some creative juice, I started writing. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to write for 30 days straight. And the feedback I got for that was pretty good. Like, you know, I was very happy with, you know, writing. It was just as a good way to express a lot of stuff. And people responding really well. Like, you know, we really like what you write. And I'm like, oh, this is okay. I never knew this would happen. So I'm like, okay, that went well. Let me try this podcasting thing. And similar, right? It's so simple, right? This conversation doesn't require any creativity. This doesn't require any prep. It's a damn Zoom call which you've been doing for the last, you know,
right. one year. You're going to do this anyway.
Yeah, you're going to do this anyway. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Let me edit it. Let me record it. And let me put it up and let's see what happens. Yeah. And yeah, like I did a couple and people were like, this is so cool. So I'm like, you know, let me continue doing it.
This is really
That's how it came about.
Yeah. Man, I'm like, honestly, like I told you before, but I want to put it on record. But what you're doing is super cool. Like getting to hear the different conversations that you've been having with all those folks that haven't spoken to for like almost a decade is phenomenal. And keep doing what you're doing, man. It's great to hear from everybody and good luck to everyone, seriously, and stay safe. But thanks again, Ruben. Yeah, I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks for the kind words, man. I think stuff like this really, really keeps me going.
Dude.
And yeah, I think, so I think I put this into a previous podcast also is, you know, like it's super easy to message people. I think we don't do that enough. Like I think in the world of, you know, you see somebody put up a picture and you like it, you feel that you've, you know, connected with them. And that's not true. Like nobody really cares about the likes.
No one cares.
So if you've enjoyed this podcast, drop Leon a message. I'm sure he'd be happy to hear from you.
Please do. Yes. I'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. If you've been enjoying these conversations, do subscribe and leave a review. It just helps me reach more people. If you have a suggestion, topics, or even people that I should speak to, do write to me. You can find me on Twitter at NoronaRuben. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can now buy me a coffee. You can find the link in the description. Lastly, to end, do go and check out this tool I'm building called RollerX AI. It helps you keep in touch with people you don't meet that often. You can find Leon and a bunch of other guests who've come on the show. So head over to rollerxai.com and sign up. I upload new episodes every Friday, and I'll see you in the next one.